Blog Talk Radio.
Working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me. You said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
right. I stand corrected.
Amen.
So you go to your first job with Will Smith and say, look, I'm really excited to be here, but I have to have Friday.
Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown off.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
With your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Special edition called Thursday Evening. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Special edition called Thursday Evening. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called The Fire of Destruction of Christianity, The Great Beast of Roman Catholic Church, part number 51. Just some stroll down the international side and see what's going on. We'll get something going on this episode. See what's going on the international side and see how many countries have logged in to this broadcast tape number 51. And on the international, all the side, all the slots is filled. That's 195 international countries have they pecking rights into this network part 51. And it reads, and what's flashing on the international side is 103.348. 103.348. 103.348. Enough said on that. Bring us Tibbs in. We'll see if we can get something going on for another episode, part number 51. So when you meet your brother with a loud voice, you say, Brother Mr. Tibbs. destroy you.
And Yahuwah bless you, Brother C. Israel and C. Royal. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That's what I'm talking about. See, when you come in the room, you're supposed to have a dialogue going on. That's what it's all about. Coming in the room, I can hear you and you can hear me, and that's what we're talking about, and we can go from there. Stay it on that. Read between the lines. Mr. Taylor, another fine, fine audience. 195 international countries. 103.348 is flashing. What you got to tell this national audience on the special edition called Thursday evening? You on the clock.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Brother Searsville, and thank you for bringing me into this large class of 103,348 people. Well, you know, coming here, we already have to know that we have to have season. Like we had mentioned before. And we're not talking like season for foods. We're talking about being conditioned to be able to speak, to do our job, whether it may be speaking the words of Yahuwah or doing things that's going to help others be able to move forward. You know, a good example, as I mentioned before, when you're like a football player or in the military, before you are a seasoned person, to bring your remembrance back, they usually call you a rookie player, or you don't really know. Remember, a school teacher, a substitute is not the original experience or seasoned teacher. And I explain it this way to make a point. Now, after you've gained experience and been trained and have time under your belt, you will probably win a game. Teach without stumbling over your words, or an army trained to do a job, and you stay alive after it's done. Now, a story of a seasoned son, as I mentioned before, that was taught by his father, which is on the same subject we're going to discuss today, a seasoned son that was taught by his father and what he ought to say, that was shown in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 49. 49 says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me commandments or instructions what I should say and what I should speak." So we see the seasoning in the Bible. It follows a protocol. And that protocol is how the word comes from the Father to the Son, to the minister spirits, to the seers, to create teaching unto you his word. So we're all seasoned players in Yahuwah's word, nurtured in what we ought to say unto you. And doing that, it's not politically motivated like some people in office. We're motivated by the words of Yahuwah. And we know this because as you begin to relish your mind in Yahuwah's words, you start to become aware of deceptive people trying to pull you in other directions. Mostly, I have experienced this myself. I mentioned this like 2 weeks ago. A gentleman gave me a pictorial comparison between aliens and angels. I had to shake my head at this guy. I talk about him quite often because he's an unbelievable individual, with even doctrine to support how they had created man. Well, being somewhat familiar with scripture and being some seasoned myself, I reminded him neither angel or alien had a hand and created man, only Yahuwah. So I asked the gentleman, did he believe in the Bible? And so we took him to the book of Genesis chapter 1, and I just gave him the verse 27. So it said in verse 27, "So Yahuwah created man in his own image. In the image of Yahuwah, he created him. And male and female, he created them." So he got quiet. And I guess this gentleman is going back to build up his mentality to come back for lesson number 3 or 4 after he gets his words together. But we'll be ready for him because we always practice the word of Yahuwah. That's why we have to be aware by knowing the scripture, there's those out there that camouflage evil teachings for righteous learning. And this is found in the book of second book of Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 12 to 15. Verse 12 says, that I may cut off an occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory they may be found even as we. 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Yahweh the Son. 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into a minister spirit of light. 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, we are doers of Yahuwah's word. We follow his righteous teachings because we look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, for the eyes of the Yahuwah are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Yahuwah is against them that do evil. Verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Well, for the number of people that came for Yahuwah's word, we know there's a lot that want to receive it and commend it and add unto it. And those people we congratulate. And some cast the same word we listen to behind their backs. As I mentioned before, that's not so good for others learning the word of Yahuwah. There are raving wolves in sheep clothing that come to see who's attending, what we're all talking about, who's on their side, and deceptive thinking, spreading rumors of non-Yahuwah-y things. And I know many have seen just as much as I. These are the ones who looks to see who's sitting on their left or sitting on their right, again, to spread rumors. And that's not for to teach the word of Yahuwah. Because without proper teaching, we meet those which we call the blind who leads the blind, leading you away from Bible precepts, the Sabbath days, and to their own double-minded speeches. So we talk direct, speak directly as it was written. And that's why we're welcome and thank you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. This comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahuwah's word, connecting the books as we usually do for your learning, your health, foods that you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. And we do this because we know you all have came to seek and found that what you have sought from Yahuwah's ministry. That's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. And the top part of Sabbath is Friday. The current time that we're starting for the Sabbath now is 7:15 to 10:15 due to the time change of the season. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. The temple class is 12 p.m. and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address for the listening members to use. To use this, open up any smart devices that you may currently have. Right on the search line, enter www.tribeyhdh.com. After you click enter, just under the line, you're going to see some choices. One is going to be tithes and offering. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as for previous use. But while doing so, remember what it tells all of us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O your kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone when doing this to remember that Yahuwah loves that you'll forgive her. And also donations to this ministry, it's greatly appreciated that you give what's in your mind to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Live. Also to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah. Also while there, don't forget to check the calendar. Keep yourself, family, and friends in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. For the live program, this is another feature that's only available during the live broadcast time, like now. To get there, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, type three words on the search line, Yakwa Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as it appears, and this will put you right into our live online broadcast. We currently have two email addresses. The first, which is tribe, that's tribeyhdh at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions, questions of a biblical subject, or related topics answered. The other is yhdhysraeel at gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. You can even state how our program was enjoyed by you. And another note we'd like to bring to your attention, please do not call any previous numbers for the seer during program time. It's not to disturb Yahweh's words. We use a few verses from the Bible to explain why. In the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8 says, answer not before thou have heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. The other comes in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26. 26 says, if any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain. But, as I've mentioned many times before, they're still to do the opposite of what the scriptures say. I even begin to notice that myself. I get a lot of calls during the program announcement. Or, when the program is running, causing disruption of the words of Yahweh when they're being spoken unto you. I'm beginning to see they may just ignore or may not be familiar with Yahweh the Son has said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, Yahweh the Son answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahweh. And also, once again, we find it necessary to mention about not contacting the seer via voicemail, email, or text. He's usually pretty busy answering many memos, as most of us have seen, even thoughts of having running just a memo show. Responding to the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and mostly important, preparing Yahweh's lesson before our program starts. Remember, even though the seer does all these things, he's only one man, limited by Yahweh's creation to 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because many of our questions can be answered directly by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahweh be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahweh in mind, the first would be our live conference room number. That is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. But I guess by now you might have a mention. Not the seer. He's tried to exceed the Yahweh's creation of 100% and found that that was impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of the program, you can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. This program will be repeated now during the current time after 9:30 p.m. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Type in three words, Yahweh Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. This time, choose the program you were missed or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, we're also in the process of making it possible to get one of our CDs or DVD recording of any particular program by request. Just call the International Line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, today is another exciting day for the Word of Yahuwah, especially for me. After going through trials and tribulations of trying to bring up the book to people that's really confused about going to other Bibles instead of the King James Bible. That's really big work trying to bring people back to the original Word. You know, we look at that because we want people that commend it and add on to it. We don't want to see those people casting the Word behind their back, trying to take it another way, making the verses mean something else, only wanting to hear the things they like in the Bible. Well, we have to go through that along with the noisemakers, the complainers, the deceptive listeners, the ones who flip the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention. But when you call them to speak the words of Yahuwah, they're completely lost. You have to remember that we can only do 100% of what one man or one woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life. And that's if at all possible. You have to remember, time is clearly not in our favor. Because if anyone ever says they've even done 101%, they just lie. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. I wonder how they do that. Don't forget what Yahuwah the Son has said about the impossible in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26. 26 says, "But Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." We know that when we're reading the Bible and gaining understanding, the Bible tells us that as a man or woman, we're measured by our works, the things we think, do, and say. In the book of James, looking at chapter 1, verse 25, 25 says, "But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continueth there within, he or she being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or woman shall be blessed in his or her deeds." Well, you can find a lot of people that read the word of Yahuwah, and 2 seconds later, they can't even remember the verse that you gave them that was supposed to have been very important. That's why we have a teacher, a seer. And you always have to show worthiness. I should say he does. Because a teacher that opens a door for his students, he has to walk through the same door himself. There are those out there that ask questions for learning. And they want to really see if you really know or try to trip you up. That's why I always say a teacher can't learn from a student but already having knowledge. A teacher gains experience by teaching. And that's true because he already knows. So we look at Hebrews after we turn our program over to our seer Israel. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of Yahuwah, whose face following concerning the end of their conversation." So at this time, my conversation will end, and the seers will begin. At this time, I'll say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was excellent again, and you brought out a profound point earlier part. And I did take a little notes on it, and I was reading a memo pertaining to the same thing. You got some peoples that have taught the masses of the peoples wrong, and they try to deal with that, and it's hard to knowing that you have got all these degrees and you've been taught wrong when it comes down to the Bible. So since while you were speaking on that subject matter on how to handle your book, what we'll do, and I'm reading a memo pertaining to the same thing that is a memo from the WCC, Well, where do we go wrong at in our Bible? And that's and that's a great point by the WCC, 500 million members. So, what we're gonna do? We're gonna do what you call. We're gonna back down to the foundation, and we're gonna walk this through for a minute because, like I said again, it's no accident when you hear someone say something like you, Mr. Tibbs, said something and came behind it. It was a memo that I'm reading from the WCC. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to entertain that subject matter. And let's see, can we make a detour on what we're on, but we're still going to get on what we're on. But we're going to make a little detour. And we're going to bring in Sister G. Israel to help me out in this. And we're going to lay a little foundation. But G. Israel, why don't you just read it exactly where you see it, and we'll go through all the breakdowns on it. We'll go all through all the breakdowns, because it must be important when you hear something is read twice, once on the network and once on this memo I got from the WCC. So what I'm going to do, we're just going to read the book as we see it. I mean, we're still going to use the proper names, but all the breakdowns, we're going to see, can we break this down for who got ears to hear. We'll find out something shortly. So we'll go through the whole, and we'll see what we can get out of it. So when you meet your sister with a loud voice on a special edition called Thursday Evening, Sister G. Israel, Tribe of Yahdah Judah, Yahweh be to their seed royal.
Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, there, Sister G. Israel. So what we want to do, we want to really look at something, because, but we're going to soundly put it in order. So we'll put all the dramatics to it. You just be cold-blooded in the reading. And we're going to see, can we show exactly where the world go wrong at in this Bible. Let's see, can we put something together, because I heard out of the mouth of two witnesses, every word shall be established. Mr. Tibbs opened the door, and this memo from WCC kind of confirmed that let's take care of a little bit of this. Let's find out some things that we need to know why the world stumbled at this word. So how about get all the help we can get. Chapter 12, verse 12, special edition called Thursday Evening. Sister G. Israel, you on the clock, come on.
Luke chapter 12, verse 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
And I believe that. In the same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And I believe that. So we're going to open up out of the mouth of David and see what David said, tells us. In 111 chapter verse 10, we're going to entertain you a little bit, the WCC, 500 million members. We're going to see, we entertain you a little bit. But this message is aimed for the six anointed camps. Any one of the classes of the six anointed camps can take care of this business. But we're just going to lay it out, the foundation to understand your Bible. And we'll start off in Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. Let's see what it says in 111, verse 10. That's what G is, well.
Psalm chapter 111, verse 10. For the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his Torah instructions. His praise endures forever.
Mm-hmm. So the fear of the Almighty Yahweh is those that do the Torah instruction. And Torah instruction means the first five books. The first thing you must do, not done away with. The fear of the Almighty is not to be told and believe that you don't have to keep the first five books. That's the fear. And his son came right behind it in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, to say what? Now, David had a son called Solomon. And let's see what he says in the 9th chapter, verse 10 of Proverbs.
Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge is understanding.
Mm-hmm. See, once you have the fear of your mighty one, the fear, and we're going to run and see what he says to a seer in the book of Malachi. See, when you got the fear of the Almighty, four-letter man, Yahweh, he says to Malachi, which is his seer, he said, Malachi, are you the man of the hour right now? He said, yes. He said, well, I got something I want you to write down for me. You put this down in the book. Let's see what he want in the book put down in Malachi, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 6. Now, listen to the tenor of this conversation. So it's a tenor of a conversation that you really got to have an ear to hear. Now, we're reading the book of Malachi. Now, listen to what he says in verse 1 and verse 6. What did he say?
Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 and 6. The burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith Yahweh of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised your name?
Right. Now you see, those that got all type of degrees would jump down and they will ignore the subject matter of what Malachi is directing this message to in verse 1. This message was told by Malachi, the seer, to Israel. And that's what it says in verse 1. So that's one of a mystery that you got to be clear. So when you read the book of Malachi, understand one thing. 1:1 is saying, where is my fear if I be a father to Israel? Then Israel, where is my fear? Now look what that man just said. If I be a father to you, Israel, tell him, Malachi, if I be a father to you, Israel, then where is my fear? Huh? Why you ain't got my name right? You see, so he's telling this message to Israel. Why you ain't got my fear right, and why you ain't got my name right, and these two, and this to the one that handled the book, to the one that distributed his word. So the first thing he wants you to have right is what he say: the burden of a word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. So this word, and he said, I'm a father to Israel. Now, let's precept there and see where is this at? Where is this coming from? I'm a father to Israel, but it's 18 nations. Why do you pick out just one name, you see? So this is where you have to understand now it's time for you to do what the Bible tells you to do, is precept your Bible. Let's find out more about this father by going to the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Because Jeremiah picked up on that. Malachi got that from Jeremiah. So we're going to Jeremiah. And one thing about a lesson, he'll give you the lesson and let you go from there. So we're going to lay the foundation. So we're going to Jeremiah and find out where is all this, I'm a father to Israel, that we can read. I'm a father to Israel. Okay, we'll go to Jeremiah 31. And let's see, can we read that in writing? That he's a father to Israel. Let's go to 31st chapter, and we'll pick up verse number 9. Let's see. Can we read what we just got through hearing? I'm a father to Israel. So Israel, where is my fear at, Israel? Let's see what you're talking about. Just read it where you see it there, Sister G. Israel. We're going to tie it all in 31 verse 9. Let's see what you want. Come on.
Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 9. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn.
Now you see that? That's great talk. Great reading too. So now he tell you who he's a father to. He's a father to Israel, and Ephraim is his firstborn. Now, what that supposed to mean? Who is Ephraim? Where is this coming from? Now, you got a name on the table, Ephraim. So now we got to keep running this back and see if we find out who is this Ephraim. He a father to Israel, and who is this Ephraim? So what we'll do, we got to go back and precept some more. Let's run back to Genesis, run back to 47, 48 chapter. And let's see, can we look at this? Let's see, where is the foundation of that conversation? We're going to find out, well, what are you talking about there? But remember one thing, you got to always see, once you line this book up properly, the book will be able to help those that come in contact with you. We want to read a little bit of that storyline by going to the 48th chapter, and we'll pick it up at 1 through 6. We're going to find out where is all this good talk coming from, and we'll find out in Genesis 48, 1 through verse number 6. We'll see if we find the foundation of that conversation right there. 48th chapter, 1 through 6, Genesis. Sister G. Israel, come on.
Genesis chapter 48. Verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Israel and said, "Behold, your son Joseph cometh unto you." And Israel strengthened himself and set upon the bed. 3. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Yahweh Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." 4. And said unto me, "Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people, and will give this land to your seed after you for an everlasting possession." 5. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto you in the land of Egypt, polluted for Mizra, before I came unto you into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. 6. And your issue, which you begettest after them, shall be yours, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance.
Oh, so that is the foundation of Israel is my firstborn. So he's talking about Ephraim and Manasseh, or Manasseh and Ephraim. So that's how that came in. And he said, your two sons will be carrying my name just like Reuben and Simeon. So now, see what we got out? So now Reuben and Simeon, their last name was called Israel. So he said, now they're going to get that same name, Ephraim and Manasseh, going to get that same name, Israel. Oh, so now we see exactly. So now when you see the word Ephraim and Manasseh, you know that name correspond with Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. So sometimes you see the word Ephraim in your Bible, it's representing what Ephraim going to become. Is the head of Israel. He will become the head of Israel. Keep that in your mind. Ephraim will become the head of Israel because he received the name Israel. But there go your game changer right there. But now, Israel, we got to be clear about it. Because when we jump down with the word Israel, it was a split in the kingdom, but we're not going to deal with that in this lesson. But that's where you have to be clear about Israel. After the 11th chapter and the 12th chapter, First King, you got a split. Israel will be called Ephraim, Northern Kingdom 10. Judah will be called the two tribes, along with the Levites called. But we're not dealing with that lesson. So that's how we take care of that part. So we want to show a little bit more. We're not going to drill on that. We want to go a little further because that's how you deal with that. But see, here's the point now. Here comes somebody and was prophesied about him in Revelation 2, verse 9. Let's see what's prophesied about him in 2, verse 9. Let's go to Revelation chapter, not 2, make it 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and some was prophesied in 12, verse 9. What was prophesied in Revelation 12, verse 9 there, Sister G. Israel?
Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his evil ministering spirits were cast out with him.
Mm-hmm. All the ones that follow him was cast out with him. All ones that you become evil. When you follow evil, then you become evil when you follow evil. Now let's run back to and find out in 3 verse 9 exactly what we're working with in 3 verse 9. Back up to Genesis 3, verse 9. No, 3, verse 1. Make it 3, verse 1. Only one is 3, verse 1. We want to precept that back. Because you're dealing with Satan the devil and all of the mental spirits, the angels that followed him, they became evil because they followed an evil, wicked angel, a mental spirit, an evil mental spirit. Let's see, what was he working with back in the garden in 3 verse 1 of Genesis? What was he working with in 3 verse 1?
Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, has Yahweh said, you shall not eat.
Just 3:1, that's it. Just show you that he was more subtle. That means he was more cunning with wicked devices than anything that was anywhere. That he was the top, he was the king of craftiness. So now we find out from 12:9, he deceived the whole world. Because he's the king of craftiness. He's the king, see, right? So now we're gonna show how the king operates. Now the king got to find somebody to do his bidding. Let's see. The king got to find somebody to do his bidding. Let's see what do the king of craftiness look for. Let's see what he look for. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Now here go the king of craftiness, wickedness. He be at his best, but you got to know what he worked with. Then you got to examine yourself and see that the king of craftiness have he hijacked you? And how you find out? By finding out how do he operate. Let's see how the king of craftiness operate in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll skip down to 4, down to verse number, let's take it on down to verse 10. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and 4 down to verse 10. We got to, now take it down to verse 11, because see, we take it down to verse 11. We're going to see how do he work. And then you have to examine yourself and see, do Satan of his ministers, do he work in your life and in your mind? Let's see, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and 4 down to verse 11. Come on.
Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 4 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Yahweh the Son led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh. 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the righteous city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. 6. And said unto him, if you be the Son of Yahweh, cast yourself down. For it is written, he shall give his ministering spirits charge concerning you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. 7. Yahweh the Son said unto him, it is written again, you shall not tempt Yahweh the Father, your Yahweh. 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the greatness of them. 9. And said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. 10. Then Yahweh the Son unto him, then saith Yahweh the Son unto him, get you hence, says Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh, your Yahweh, and him only shall you serve. 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, ministering spirits came and ministered unto him.
So you see, you got to be able to withstand Satan by understanding what this book is saying. And when you find out that you're not in this book and Satan is going to come and tempt you, and you got to look into the mirror and say, Satan wham me like a pair of socks. Let's precept that to Luke chapter 4. And pick up 5 through 7. So that you got to examine yourself. Now, WCC, you got to examine yourself. Do Satan hang out with you like a sock on a heel? Let's find out something in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. Let's see what it said, 5 through 7.
Luke chapter 4. Verses 5 through 7. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the greatness of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to worship, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. 7. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours.
Okay? Good. Now, what is recorded history on that? In 1455, the Pope Nicholas V, in 1455, written a papal bull to Alfonso I and told Alfonso I, I'm going to settle the dispute between you and Spain, and I'm going to give you all the land of the west coast of Africa. Okay? So now, public records that the papacy of 1455 issued a papal bull, June 18, 1452. He added more. But in 1455, but in 1452, June the 18th, he issued a papal bull saying to Alfonso the First, all the land of the West Coast Africa I'm giving to you. It's yours to possess. But by my rules and my understanding, which you rule all the Western world, and Spain will be your backup. So he settled between Spain and Portugal, and Pope Nicholas V issued a papal bull saying the whole coast of West Africa belongs to. So he had authority to take a land from the whole coast of the West Africa and say, it is yours, because I am the vicar, the replacement of Christ. So I grant you the land. Now, we just got through reading what was said 1,400 years prior to it. Satan said, if you bow down to me, all these kingdoms I will give to thee. So Pope Nicholas received a invitement by the Pope. Now we go on and see if we find out is there any more record on that by going getting the third book of Enoch. Let's see, do that work today. We're going to the third book of Enoch there, Sister G. Israel. Let's see, we plan it by ear. We just plan it by ear to show you exactly that when you read this Bible, it's a lot of information we need. We don't know where we're going, but we'll get you there. We go on to the third book of the book of Enoch. Enoch, third book of Enoch. And we want to go and look at chapter 26. And we want to see, do that exist today? In the third book of Enoch, chapter 26, we'll pick up verse 12 down about 13, 14. Let's pick it up at, let's see, do that exist today? Because we found out that Satan started doing his business. Matter of fact, he advertised his business in the first book of Adam and Eve, 57, 7 through 10. Let's get that out of the way first. Show you that he coming from the garden. Satan, remember, he was most subtle. That means he was the most cunning, slickest, wicked thing that Yahweh have created. He had once had power with the Almighty, and when you read the 12th chapter of Revelation, until I found sin in him, then I cast him down. But he was in the garden with Adam and Eve in the 57th chapter, verse 7 through 10, and he told Adam and Eve something. And let's go see what he told them in the 57th chapter, verse 7 down to verse 10. Let's see what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden.
The first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 57. Okay, 1 second.
Yeah, verse 7 through 10. So what we're going to do, we're going to examine exactly what to look for and how to read your Bible by taking care of a few things on the way, and then you examine yourself. So we find out that Satan plays a part on anything that is Yahwali. He plays a part. Verses 7, 7 through 10 says what?
I have to get my paper. Hold on.
Okay. All right. Well, we keep talking then. Please. Well, we can entertain a little talk.
I got it.
Got it?
All right. Yeah, I got it. First book in Adam and Eve, chapter 57, verses 7 through 10. But now, O Adam, because you fail, you are under my rule, and I am king over you, because you have obeyed me and have sinned against your Yahweh. There will be no deliverance from me, from my hand, until the day promised you by your Yahweh. 8. Again he said, because we do not know the day agreed on with you by your Yahweh, nor the hour in which you shall be delivered, we will multiply wars and murders on you and your descendants after you. 9. This is our will and our good pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of men to inherit our place in heaven. 10. Our home, Adam, is in burning fire, and we will not stop our evil doing even a single day, nor even a single hour. And I, O Adam, shall set you on fire when you come into the cave to live there.
Mm-hmm. So we read that Satan was in the garden, and we just read, he said, now I'm not only going to take care of you and try to deliver you up, but I will be around when your forefathers and mothers show up. I will be around in every generation. And it makes it plain, and then the Almighty Son saying, now listen, I want you to know how he operates. I want you to be clear how he operates, and we want you to be able to examine yourself, how do he operate. Then you better tell what you're working with by understanding what he works with. But the Almighty Son made a statement in the 14th chapter about this guy called Satan in verse 30. Look what he says in 14, verse 30 of St. John about the Almighty Satan of this world. What did he say?
John, chapter 14, verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me.
He said this guy over here going to be total opposite of me. He's going to be total opposite of me. He said, if I tear you up, he's going to tear you down. So remember, he's taking the son. I want to read that verse one more time because he was orchestrated in the book of the fathers. Let's listen to that verse one more time and 4 verse 1. Let's go back to Matthew 4, 1 and listen to this verse real plainly, 4 verse 1.
Matthew, chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Yahweh the Son led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
So you see, you say? So here's the point. If Yahweh the Son was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted, then once you get tempted, then you all of a sudden start questioning. But the Son, led by example, Satan tempted him. But he says in the 16th chapter, verse 33 of St. John, pertaining to the tempter. He made a profound statement to the followers that's called disciples in the 16th chapter of St. John, verse 33. Let's see what he says.
John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
So he ain't gonna lay nothing on you that he didn't go through in the body. So he gonna pass it on to you to let you know that you will go through trials and tribulation in the world. But he says, be of good cheer because I overcome. Now when did he overcome? You just read it. We just read it. He overcome, taking care of the Father's business. Now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. So in the same token, what we're trying to tell you, see, right? You have to overcome some of this. You got to recognize where things is coming from the pages of the book. Now, we just read that Satan told him, all this I give to thee, but you got to do one thing for me. Did we read Luke? Did we get out of Luke out the way? Chapter 4, 5 through 7. Did we get that out the way?
I don't think so. Oh, yeah, we did.
Let's get Luke out the way.
Yeah, we did.
We got Luke out the way.
Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7.
Excellent. Okay, we got that out the way. Okay, good. So we got that out the way. Now we find out that Satan came in the presence of Pope Nicholas V and went to Alfonso I and told him the battle you have between your brother, the Spaniards, and the Portuguese, he said, I'm going to sell it. You're going to take control of everything and because I am the vicar and the replacement. So all of West Africa is yours. See that? Now, by that King Alfonso I, Alfonso II, that's who that was. Now, if he knew what you want to know, WCC, then he would have had something in writing showing that in the book of Jubilees, this is what it tells you in the book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse number 14 and 15. It makes a profound statement out of the book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. So what are we saying? So far we understanding something that Satan says to Yahweh the Son, if you bow down to me, all that is the kingdoms. I got to read that again because I just can't. I need to hear that one more time. Let's go back to Luke chapter 4, 5 through 7. Give me Luke chapter. Before you read Jubilees, I want to hear it one more time, Luke chapter 4, 5 through 7. What does it say again now, Sister G. Israel?
Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the greatness of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. 7. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours.
And that's the same thing Pope Nicholas said to a King Afonso, King Afonso of Portugal. If you worship me, and I'm going to write all the rules and regulations, what I want to be done, all the West Africa will be yours. You see that saying right here? So, there you go right there. Now, let's see what Jubilee says when Noah looked his three boys eyeball to eyeball, say in the 9th chapter, verse 14 and 15. Let's see what the written heavenly tablet says pertaining to that. Let's see what it says over here in the book of Jubilee, chapter 9, 14 and 15. What does it say?
Jubilees, chapter 9, verses 14 through 15. Verse 14. Thus the sons of Noah divided to their sons in the presence of Noah their father. And he bound them all by an oath and invoked a curse on every one that sought to seize any portion which had not fallen to him by his lot. 15. They all said, so be it, so be it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For themselves and their sons forever throughout their generations until the day of judgment, on which Yahweh shall judge them with a sword and with fire for all the unclean wickedness of their errors that they have fulfilled, they have filled the earth with, which are transgressions, sin, uncleanness, and fornication, and sin.
Good. So, look what we found out. So what we found out, that the Almighty sent a medicine spirit down to Noah, and he divided the land between three sons, and the three sons' name was 5:32 of Genesis, and 6 verse 10. Let's find what was the son's name that he divided everybody a portion, and he gave one son a double portion. We'll find out which one is that. We'll find out some things here, right? So we're going to find out something on the way of finding out something. We're going to find out that he divided the portion, Noah's sons. He gave all of them a portion, and he said, now, don't leave your land. If you do, you'll be upon a curse. And you gon, and when the Almighty come, you'll be punished with the sword, because that's a sin, anybody's land that did not fall by your lot. Yes, right. So now, who got some land? The three boys, Noah. What is their name? Let's go find out what their name is in Genesis 5:32 and 16. What their name in 5:32 and 16? Genesis.
Genesis chapter 5:32 and Genesis 6:10. Genesis chapter 5:32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6, verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
So you see that, see, right? So you see how we went in there, Noah divided his land between three sons. And the three sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So wherever they migrated to, that was the name of their land. The land was called the land of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We ain't gonna make no meal out of that, but that is right there. But it's, then it's one more portion that is left. So now you find out the firstborn son he got was Shem. But let's see what the heavenly tablets tell you about the firstborn son, what is they entitled to in verse Deuteronomy chapter 21, 17. What is the firstborn son entitled to?
Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is he.
Okay, so, see? So there's what they'll see, right? Now you got southeast, north, west. We ain't making no meal out of it, but we know one thing. Knowing they have a three sons, so every one of the sons got a portion. Then whatever was left over, the firstborn son get that, and that's a double portion. So the firstborn son, we find out by the name, is Shem. So Shem received a double portion. So the southern part of the world and the western part of the world belongs to Shem.
The eastern part and the western part belongs to Shem.
The southern part belongs to Ham. And the northern part belongs to Japheth. Now, but, the very Pope Nicholas the Fifth came to King Alfonso and gave him the land of Africa and told him it's his. Now, wait a minute. I wonder if Alfonso knew that if he bite on that because it looks good and sounds good, that puts you up on the curse and everything that's tied to your hip. So you see, that's why we're saying, see, Roy, is certain things that we have to make plainly see where is this coming from, because just as Satan got into Pope Nicholas the Fifth in 1452 and 55 and told him, all this land I give to thee, you just bow down to me. And that's exactly what he did. He said, I'm going to sell it with Spain. I mean, what do they call it, land? Spain, Portugal and Spain. I'm going to sell it with them that you're going to take care of all that. You see that? They pulled that off, see, right here. And they don't pull that off today. So whoever in a land that's not been deeded to them, regardless how good it looks, you up on a curse from Satan the devil, and when a time appointed, according to Yahweh said, he says, now this is what he says, he made a statement in Genesis chapter 9. He told this story, and they rehearsed this story all the way. Let's see what was told in Genesis 9. It was a story that was told in Genesis 9 to three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It was something told to them in 9. And let's see what he says to them in 9. Let's see if he says something to them in 9. Noah looked his boys eyeball to eyeball. And what did he say? Well, I ain't going to get off on that, what he said. I'm going to let that alone. I'm going to come back to that later. We're looking right at what he said about you doing such a thing. I'm not going to deal with that right now. I tell you what I do. I go to Moses. I go to Moses chapter 19, and look what he told Moses to tell the children of Israel in 19:14. What did he tell them in 19:14 now? Deuteronomy 19:14. What did he say?
Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmarks, which they of old time have set in your inheritance, which you shall inherit in the land that Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, giveth you to possess it.
So you see, so he told Moses to tell the children of Israel, one thing you cannot do, you cannot move nobody's landmarks of their fathers. He says, you cannot do that. Now let's see what he told the wise man of the world. He pulled that verse in the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, verse 28, and the 23rd chapter, we're going to look at it in verse 10. Let's go to Proverbs 22. So he's telling you what you cannot do. You cannot look at nobody's land that was not deeded to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then you call and you go take their lands because you put yourself and everybody tied to your hip up on a curse. That's what we're reading. So we go on to and see what Solomon says about that. He was told of Solomon in 22nd chapter, verse 28. Let's see what it says in 22, verse 28, and 23, verse number 10. What did it say there, Sister G. Israel?
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28, and chapter 23, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 10. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless.
You see what he's saying? So he's telling you not to do this, and Pope Nicholas from Satan, the devil himself, had Alfonso to go over there and do exactly what Satan wants, because Yahuwah said don't do it. See right here, listen. Yahuwah said don't do it. Satan said, yes, do it. So now you got to start thinking, looking in that mirror, is you doing Yahuwah's business or is you doing Satan's business? You got to look at it real carefully. And we found out that Pope Nicholas V was doing Satan's business. And he got the big king, Alfonso, to go over there and take the land of Ham, polluted word called Africa. That's the land of Ham. What you mean, WCC? What you mean, land? Yeah, that's what it is, the land of Ham. Okay, well, we'll pull it out. Now, we'll pull it out. Okay. Let's run to Psalm 78. All right, WCC, we'll pull it out. We run to Psalm 78 and show you that what that land is really called. Let's run to Psalm 78. And let's see if we find out what that land is called according to the Bible. When you see the word Africa, we're going to show you what the word means according to the Bible in 78, verse number 51. Let's see what the word means in 78, 51 there, Sister G. Israel.
Psalm. Chapter 78. Psalm chapter 78, verses 51. Psalm 78, verse 51. And smote all of the firstborn in Egypt, polluted word for Mizra, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham.
Mm-hmm.
Polluted word,
so
Africa.
We know that Egypt, all that is in Africa. But we find out that the word Africa, Egypt, all that is in the land of Ham. Ham is the second son of Noah. Let's get a second witness and go to 105, verse number 23. Let's get a second witness, 105, verse 23.
Psalm chapter 105, verse 23. Psalm chapter 105, verse 23. Israel also came into Egypt, polluted from Mizraim, and Israel sojourned in the land of Ham.
So that was a place called the land of Ham. So when you see the word Africa, it means the land of Ham, because remember one thing, when you're doing a search, when you search, you don't search for the Africans, you search for Job 8, verse 8. So that's how you make your search. So when you're doing your Bible research, you search to find the exact records, you find it out through Job 8, verse 8. What does it say?
Job chapter 8. Verse 8, for inquire, I pray you, of the former age, and prepare yourself to the search of their fathers.
So that's how you make a search. When you search for the father of Africa, you're going to run into somebody called Leo Scipio Africanum. You got to search through the Bible and find out what is the name, biblically, what is the name of that land, and that land is called the land of Ham, because we read historical documents, facts, that Noah had three sons, and three sons migrated to their spots, and the southern kings, the southern world was given to Ham, like the northern world was given to Japheth. So, and the eastern world was given to Shem first. The only thing left is the west. So the west world and the eastern world belongs to Shem. So that's if you want to do it biblically. But when you let man get up in there, he'll change things around. And when he changes things around, that is the strength of Satan the devil. Just like he came to Pope Nicholas and told Nicholas the Fifth, if you bow down to me, I give you this. I give you the priesthood. I make you the replacement of Jesus Christ. See that? He loves that. And he's taking that right now. He loves to be called a replacement of Jesus Christ. He's the vicar. So he's the one that gives authority to where you're supposed to be, and he gives more authority on what days you're supposed to worship. Who? Who you worship. See, right. So now you got to understand something. Satan in the blessing business, but it's contrary to the truth. He got nothing in Yahweh. So now you get an idea where we're going at. I can see it myself a little bit. But let's go back to the third book of Enoch. You got to examine yourself now, see, right? Now we're going to Enoch again. So now you got to examine yourself, what you working with, according to Scripture. Are you working up under the banner of Pope Nicholas V that is controlled by Satan the devil, that he was tempted and he went with it. Yahweh the Son was tempted and he didn't go with it. Now, examine yourself, what you working with. Now let's go to the third book of the book of Enoch, and now let's go and see what is he doing the present day. We're going to see what is Satan doing the present day today. We're going to book, 26th chapter, third book of Enoch. And we're going to look at chapter 26, first prayer, down to verse 15. Now, let's see if Satan, have he taken a vacation, or is he still working today? Come on.
to third book of Enoch, chapter 26, verse 12. Why are they called seraphims? Because they burned seraph, the writing tables of Satan. Every day, Satan sits together with Samuel, the prince of Rome, and with Dubiel, the prince of Persia. And they write down the sins of Israel on their writing tables, which they hand over to the seraphims, so that the seraphims can present them to the righteous one. Blessed be he. So that he should eliminate, destroy Israel from the world. But the seraphim know the secrets of the righteous one. Blessed be he. They know that he does not want the people of Israel to perish. What do the seraphim do about this? Every day they receive the tablets from the hand of Satan, and they burn them in the burning fire, which is near the high and exalted throne. They do this in order that the tablets should not come before the righteous one. Blessed be he, when he is sitting upon the throne of judgment, judging the entire world in truth.
Mm. So Satan still operates through Pope Nicholas V and his successors. So his successors is all the way, and Rome is Samuel, another name for the Pope. So Satan still works through Satan the devil. And his primary goal is to always get at Israel. That's why he came. He said, he showed up to poke a Rome and said, what them old Israelites doing? All on his mind, he don't worry about no other nations because he got them already. The only one left is a certain section of Israel and everything else he has. So you see what all he want to do is him and the Prince of Persia, the Pope of Rome, all they want to make sure one thing, do we got the Israelites in our corner yet? And let's always concoct some up against the Israelites. So now that's deep, the devil. We're not going to get off in that neither. But you see, he's still operating. And the mission is to keep Israel from something. And if he keep you from something, then he know one thing, he got another day, and he got you. Now, let's go see what a seer was told pertaining to what we're saying. Now, we're going to find out that how he operates in Amos 3, verse 7. Let's find out how he operates in Amos 3, verse 7. Let's see how he operates. Amos 3, verse 7.
Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the seers.
That's how he operates. So now we read how he operates. Now, Amos pulled that from Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1 and 17. Now he pulled that to make sure that he was on point. He pulled that from Ezekiel 38, verse 1 and 17. Let's see what he says in 38, verse 1 and 17.
Ezekiel, chapter 38, verses 1 and 17. And the word of Yahuwah came unto me, saying, 17, thus saith Yahuwah, are you he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants, the seers of Israel, which prophesied
right there,
in those days.
Right there. So, when the Almighty have spoken in old times, he looked at the whole 18 nations, WCC. So he said out his own mouth, if he had something to say to the creation of man and woman, he spoke in old times by his servants, the seers of Israel. That's how he operated, Steve. That's how he operated. So anybody else that got his word is not following the rules of regulation. They following the rules of Satan, the devil. That's how he says he operates. And he told you plainly in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, what he said. What he says in 8, verse 3 of Deuteronomy?
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knewest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live.
So now, so remember, don't move nobody's landmark. Whatever was deed to you, be there what the man telling you to do. And it tells you in Proverbs 3, 31 and 33. It may not the wisest man in the world made a statement from the mouth of Yahweh. Listen what he says in the third chapter of Proverbs, verse 31 and 33. What do you say?
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 and 33. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31. Envy you not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. 33. The curse of Yahweh is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just.
He said, now the curse is in the family, the nation of the wicked. Anytime you go contrary to this book, You are under a curse. So he letting you know right now, the wicked that will say, all this land I give to thee, if you bow down to me, all they doing is rehearsing the righteous act from Satan the devil. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles 36. And let's find out something. And when we hear certain people's talking, I understand one thing, that a lesson is done by the spirit of Yahweh according to the six anointed counts through Yahweh. We can touch on any subject matter and let the Bible tell the story. And the Second Chronicles 36, we want to be clear who talking. Who talking when you hear the mouth talking, but who talking? So we go on to 2 Chronicles 36, and we're going to look at the last three lines in verse 12. We go on to 2 Chronicles 36 and look at the last three lines. We're going to look at where it says, Jeremiah, the seer. That's what we're going to hear what he got to say. Let's see what it says in 2 Chronicles 36, last three lines and verse 12, what it says.
2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 12, the last portion. Jeremiah the seer, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh.
Ain't that something? So Jeremiah the seer was speaking from the mouth of Yahweh. So you see, when Jeremiah was talking, he wasn't talking about what he feel and what he think. He was speaking from the mouth of Yahweh. So remember, and look what happened in verse 15 and 16. Now with that in mind, look yourself right in the mirror and see, are you going to repeat this? 15 and 16, what does it say?
Verse 15, and Yahuwah of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. 16, but they mocked the messengers of Yahuwah and despised his words and misused his seers, until the wrath of Yahuwah arose against his people, till there was no remedy.
Yes, see, right? So when you mock the messengers of Yahuwah, which is the seers, you make Yahuwah say, well, you know what? It ain't no remedy for you, but give you a big belly full of 17. He said, now when you do that, ain't nothing I can do for you but give you a big belly full of 17. What does it say in 17?
17. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the temple of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that is stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand.
Ain't that something? You see what kind of Yahuwah we're dealing with? He don't care you a baby on the breast, you an old woman or man bent over stoop, got a cane. When Yahuwah tell you what not to do, and you do it anyway, so there it is right there. See, I told you what not to do, see right here. He told you what not to do. And you know what he says in Malachi 3, verse 6. And we clear what he says? What he said in Malachi 3, verse 6?
Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am Yahuwah, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Israel are not consumed.
Mm-hmm. So in 1 Timothy 5, 1, 2, 19, and 20, Paul was sent to tell Timothy and Titus what the scripture said. And let's see what he says in 1 Timothy 5, verse 1, 2, 19, and 20. What does he say, S.G. Israel?
1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2.
19 and 20.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. 2. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, so with all purity. 19. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. 20. Them that sin, rebuke before all. Others also may fear.
Mm-hmm. And that verse was pulled from the heavenly tablets in Exodus 22, 28. That verse was pulled. That was a pulled verse. What it says in Exodus 22, verse 28.
Exodus chapter 22, verse 28. Exodus chapter 22, verse 28. You shall not revile the Yahuwah, nor curse the ruler of your people.
So he tell you what not to do. So he telling you the rules and regulations, just like he told Noah to tell his three boys what not to do. Whatever land belongs to Shem, he got a double portion, the other two boys. He said, what you don't do, you don't look at nobody else's land but your own. If you do so, that I will put you upon a curse, and when I come with the sword, I'm going to either catch you down in the ground and stick it to you, or catch you on the ground and stick it to you. You're going to be stuck with a sword, a fiery sword. See right here? So you see the information you've got to have to be clear. Because a lot of times you'll be wanting to run and do some things that the Bible do not support, and you're going to try to make a meal out of it and get yourself short. So now, well, you know, when the seer's talking, you have to pay attention because they're speaking from the mouth of Yahuwah. Now let's go read 2 Ezra chapter 9, 1 through 15, and then we'll skip to 28 through 37, and we'll get a closing statement to tomorrow at about 7 o'clock. We'll come back on with some more Sister G. Israel seeing you earlier. Let's see what it says in 2 Ezra chapter 9, 1 through 15, 8 through 37. 2 Ezra chapter 9, listen good, 1 through 15, 28 through 37, the closing statement, come on.
2 Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 15 and verses 20 through 37. 2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 1. He answered me then and said, measure you the time diligently in itself, and when you seest a part of the signs past, which I have told you before, too, then shall you understand that it is the very same time wherein the Highest will begin to visit the world which he made. 3. Therefore, when there shall be seen earthquakes and uproars of the people in the world. 4. Then shall you well understand that the Most High spake of those things from the day that were before you, even from the beginning. 5. For like as all that is made in the world has a beginning and an end, and the end is manifest. 6. Even so, the time also of the Highest have plain beginnings in wonders and powers and powerful works, and endings in effects and signs. 7. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his works and by faith, belief in the covenant whereby you have believed. 8. Shall be preserved from the said perils, and shall see my salvation in my land, and where and within my borders. For I have sanctified them for me from the beginning. 9. Then shall they be in pitiful case, which now have abused my ways, and they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torments. 10. For such as in their life have received benefits and have not known me. 11. And they that have loathed my Torah instructions while they had yet liberty, and when as yet place of repentance was open unto them, understood not, but despised it. 12. The same must know it after death by pain. 13. And therefore, be you not curious how the ungodly shall be punished and when, but inquire how the righteous shall be saved, whose the world is, and for whom the world is created. 14. Then answered I and said, 15. I have said before, and now do speak, and will speak it also hereafter, that there be many more of them which perish than of them which shall be saved. Verses 28 through 37. Verse 28, and I opened my mouth and began to talk before the Most High and said, 29, O Yahuwah, you that showest yourself unto us, you was showed unto our fathers in the wilderness, in a place where no man treadeth, in a barren place when they came out of Mizraim. 30. And you spakest, saying, hear me, O Israel, and mark my words, you seed of Israel. 31. For behold, I sow my Torah instructions in you, and it shall bring fruit in you, and you shall be honored in it forever. 32. But our fathers, which received the Torah instructions, kept it not, and observed not your ordinances. And though the fruit of your Torah instructions did not perish, neither could it, for it was yours. 33. Yet they that received it perished, because they kept not the things that was sown in them. 34. And lo, custom, when the ground has received seed, or the sea a ship, or any vessel meat or drink, that being perished wherein it was sown or cast into, 35, that thing also which was sown or cast therein or received does perish, and remaineth not with us, but with us it has not happened so. 36. For we that have received the Torah instructions perish by sin, in our mind also which receive it. 37. Notwithstanding, the Torah instructions perish not, but remaineth in his force.
Back up and read verse 9 and 12 again in the closing statement. Verse 9 and 12. So you see what he's saying. You got Yahuwah saying one thing, and the counterbalance that have nothing to do in Yahuwah saying something else. Just like when he was told, don't go to nobody's land, because if you do, you're upon a curse forever, and I'm going to get you for it. Somebody listened to that call, Pope Nicholas V. So they is in lands that don't belong to them today. So you know that what they ain't going to be. So just like what he just told that seer, listen, this is the way it's going to be. It's up to who look in the mirror and see what this book is saying. Second Ezra chapter 9, verse 9 and 12 in the closing statement says what?
Verses 9 and 12. Then shall they be in pitiful case, which now have abused my ways, and they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torment. 12. The same must know it after death by pain.
Verse 37.
Notwithstanding, the Torah instructions perishes not, but remaineth in his force.
Ain't that something? Sister G. Israel, until we do the 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, Yahuwah be with you and with your closing statement. Come on.
Thank you, Seer Israel, once again connecting the books. and Seed Royal. The rest of the Book of Esther. And the whole righteous nation. Oh, sorry. Chapter 11. The rest of the chapters of the Book of Esther, chapter 11, verse 9. And the whole righteous nation was troubled, fearing their own evil, and were ready to perish. 10. Then they cried unto Yahweh, and upon their cry, as it were, from a little fountain, was made a great flood, even much water. 11. The light and the sun rose up, and the lowly were exalted, and devoured the glorious. 12. Hallelujah.
All right, there, Sister G. Israel. We'll catch you tomorrow at 7 o'clock straight up for some more top part of 7. So this is E. Ray. Remember one thing. Satan told Adam, I'm going to get you on every point. And Yahweh have told the children of Israel through the mouth of the seers what to do and not to do. Let's bring Mr. Tibbs in for his final statements and some dust says Yahweh. And we'll bring him in and get his closing statement and some dust says Yahweh. So you hear what the man is saying. So examine yourself, Steve Reyes. Tape number 51, Mr. Tibbs. You're on the square on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Brother CFL. And thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. As I said once before, we have a glorious number of people attending our broadcast tonight. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's 103,348 listeners out there. They're all excited for the word of Yahweh. Let me know that we all came to hear the things that most of us here understand. And some listening never understand. That's without proper teaching. And that's why we extend ourselves with the word of Yahweh, to give proper teaching to those that come to our broadcast. So knowing that, we welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's ministry. That's coming to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible about Yahweh's word, connecting the books as we usually do for your understanding. Your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. And we do this because we realize that you all have knocked and came to seek, and you found that what you have sought in Yahweh's ministry that's open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days that we're open is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. We generally don't have a class on Tuesday unless we have a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. The top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Generally, class starting at 7:15 to 10:15 because of the change of the times. Saturday, which is the bottom part of the Sabbath, the temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until our temple members desire to leave. Now, we also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine on any one of those excellent smart devices you may have. Right on that search line, enter www.tiihdh.com. After click enter, just under the big line, you're going to see some choices. One of these is going to be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. On any other device, you might see menu. But after clicking this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings and follow the same instructions as for previous use. When doing so, remember what it says in the Book of Psalms, Chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give. What's in your mind? to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah Rai, also to build a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program, Hallelujah Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check that calendar. Keep yourself and family in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. That calendar explains what the feast days are in detail, when they start, and when they end. So it's a good point to check. For the live program, this is a feature that's only available during the live broadcast time. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. This time, type in three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Click the red live button as soon as this appears, and you'll be right into our live online broadcast. Now, the two email addresses that we're using for the listening members, the first is tribe, that's tribeyhdh at gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions of a biblical subject or related topics. The other is yhdhysrael at gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects, related topics. You can also state how our program was enjoyed by you. One note that we'd like to ask, please do not call any previous numbers for this year during program time, as not to disturb the words of Yahuwah. We have a few Bible verses that explain why. The first comes from the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8. It says, answer not before thou have heard the calls, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. The other comes from the book of James, looking at chapter 1, verse 26. 26 says, if any man or woman among you seem to be religious and bridle not his or her tongue, but deceives his or her own mind, this man or woman's religion is vain. But, as you can imagine, there's still those that are out there that do the opposite of what the scriptures say. They will call during a program announcement or cause disruption when the words of Yahuwah are being spoken unto you. As I said before, I'm beginning to see they just ignore or may not be familiar with Yahuwah the Son, as said in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29. 29 says, Yahuwah the Son answered and said unto them, ye do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Yahuwah. And once again, in addition to what we've said before, we find it necessary to mention, please by no means contact the seer direct via voicemail, email, or text. He is usually pretty busy answering many memos, as most of us have seen, even having thoughts of running a memo show, responding to the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and mostly important, preparing Yahuwah's lesson before our program starts. Remember, the seer is also only one man, limited by Yahuwah's creation to only 100% of what one man can do. So please place all your calls to the international line. You will receive a call back if it's legit, because as you might imagine, many of our questions can be answered by one of our anointed camps. Thank you for your consideration. Yahuwah be with you all. Now, the numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind, the first would be the live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number. You can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. But, as you might imagine by now, not the seer. He's often tried to exceed this creation of 100% by Yahuwah and found that this is impossible, as quoted in the book of Matthew 19:26. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of our program, you can always pick up on the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except for Fridays. This program will be repeated at a later time due to the change in the time in the season. Probably around 10:30 you can pick our Friday program up. To get there, open up any search engine on any one of your devices. Once again, type in the three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. After you click enter, look for True Name Teachers. Choose the program you were late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. We're also in the process of making it possible for the listening members to get a CD or DVD of our program recording by request. Just call the international line to order any particular day or number of days. Well, we're looking at the Bible, and we're seeing that this is a very exciting thing that's coming up, the Word of Yahuwah. We have those that are looking at it. They commend it as it's being read unto them. Add unto it, only following the same by the same people listening, casting it behind their backs. One of their favorite verses in the Bible. Can you imagine that? Taking those meanings another way, as I said earlier, along with the deceptive listeners, noisemakers, complainers. There are quite a few out there that try to pull you away from Yahuwah's word. Even the guys that flip the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention. Completely lost when they call to speak the words of Yahuwah. One serious and important thing, they've clearly forgotten that time is not in our favor. And we can only do 100% of what one man or woman that was Yahuwah created to do in this life. And that's, if at all possible. Even myself, I find that if I have 100% set up, I might finish 85, come close to it. So if anyone even told you that they've done 101%, they just lied. Now they're doing the work of another past Yahuwah's creation. That's impossible. Because what Yahuwah the Son said about the impossible in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 26, 26 says, "But Yahuwah the Son beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahuwah all things are possible." So we're going to get back until we find that it is possible. And that's when we have the book in our hand, the Bible. So we can receive lessons from the Bible on how to righteously proceed according to that book. Remember, don't be led by friendly deception. I get that all the time. Yahuwah has given man a choice, free will, if you might say, which is written. Because when you go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19 says, "I call on heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Well, I don't think I'd have to read that verse twice myself to find out what choice I would make. So we're going to leave the choice to you. Ask that you keep your Bibles open and continue to learn. Pass our program back to our seer Israel and say, "Hallelujah, Yahuwah."
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Still, that's excellent again. Good comeback. And that's what it's all about. We want you to be clear now where you stand at, because one thing about it, we want all the James 5:20s we can get. And, you know, so the bottom line is we're going to try to show you what this man's saying. So you got to be very clear that is Satan talking to you or is that Yahuwah talking to you? Is Yahuwah going to tell you one thing, and Satan told Adam, he going to tell you total different. Then he said in St. John 14, verse 30, he said, "Now, you know the prince of Satan coming. He ain't got nothing to me. He's a counterbalance to me." Keep that in your mind, see it right here. So we're going to give you all of what, and remember, Pope Nicholas V, he granted King Alfonso the whole land of Ham. All of it belongs to you. But if you do one thing for me, bow down and worship me. That's what he said. We're going to bring the mothers in and going in for the clothes and look for the mothers out of Camp 1 and look at Mother D up Israel, C, Raya, Tribal Yagdah, Judah. And bring her in, and when you meet the mothers out of Camp 1 with a loud voice, you say, "Mother D up Israel, Yahuwah be with you, C, Raya."
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of C, Raya. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah,
Yahuwah. Mother E, Mother Z, Israel, Tribe of Yahuwah, Judah. Yahuwah be to that Mother E.
Yahuwah bless you, Israel of Syria. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, you know, it's very interesting. You know, WCC, they were saying that 500 million members, they really want to understand something. Like I said again, and we made a total detour to show you, you got to examine yourself, because the six anointed camps know how to examine themselves through the scripture. Because I asked Mother D. of Israel a profound question, and she gave an answer. And so now, just as she gave an answer on the last couple broadcasts back, we'll run back to Nehemiah, and we'll read it again. And I asked her a question. She gave an answer. We'll see what she recalled, the answer she gave, when we go back to Nehemiah one more time. See, I asked a question, she gave an answer. We'll run back, Mother, run back to Nehemiah again, because you made a profound, I asked a question, and you gave an answer. And I want to run back, and in the ninth chapter of Nehemiah, I just want to throw it back on the table and see, can you recall what answer did you give in 9, 12 through 14? I want to come back and see what answer would you give after you read Nehemiah chapter 9, 12 through 14. Mother D of Israel, what did it say? Come on.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 12 to 14. Verse 12. Moreover, thou leadest them in the day by a pillar and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Verse 13. Thou came down also upon the Mount Sinai and spake with them from heaven and gavest them right judgment and true Torah instruction, good statutes and Torah instruction, commandments. Verse 14. And made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and Torah instruction by the hand of Moses.
Mm-hmm. And what I said to you there, Mother D of Israel, if they is not by 14, then what spirit are they up under in verse 14? Read 14 again, and I ask you a question, and I want to recall what you said, although I know what you said, but let's look at verse 14 again.
Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14, and made it known unto them your righteous Sabbath, and commanded them precepts, statutes, and Torah instructions by the hand of Moses, your servant.
So what did the Almighty command the children of Israel to do by Nehemiah, coming out of Moses' book? What is a commandment to do?
Precept, statutes, Torah instructions.
If a teacher stand before you and not precepting his Bible, then what spirit are they up under?
Satan the devil.
So you see, that's why we saying that if so much have to be understood, that the Bible would tell you that you have to precept your Bible. And look what David says in 119, Mother D of Israel. What David says in 119, verse 98 through 100. Let's see what David said. Now, David's speaking from the mouth of the Almighty Yahweh, the Psalm, through the Spirit that he said. Let's see what he says in 119, 98 through 100.
Psalms 119, verse 98 to 100. Verses 98. thou through your commandments, Torah instruction, has made me wise than my enemy, for they are ever with me. 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Covenant. 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts.
Ain't that something? So what make you know more than the ancients according to verse 100? Let's see, remember that the ancients wrote this down, but David mm-hmm. said he know more than the ancients. What advantage that David have stated in verse 100, what make him so wise and he got more understanding than the ancients? For what reason in verse 100?
Because I keep your precepts.
Oh, so David, I just see right. So David gonna be king over Israel forever. So he tell you plainly. Listen, the key to it is to understand your Bible. You got to keep the precepts. Now the seal gonna come there and seal the deal, Modi up Israel, and 2 Ezra 16. Verse 76. Now let's go see the seer that's speaking from the mouth of Yahweh. He going to seal the deal in 2 Ezra chapter 16, verse 76. Listen to what he says here. And 2 Ezra 16, verse 76.
2 Ezra chapter 16, verses 76. And the God of them who keepeth my Torah instruction and precept, says Yahweh, let not your sins weigh you down, and let not your sins lift up themselves.
So he says it is a commandment. A commandment, and precepts. See, David said what he done, he kept the commandments of doing the precepts. So that is a commandment, precepts. So the only way you're going to understand the reason why the 17 nations got this book all the way wrong, because they do not precept the Bible. And they'll come up with thoughts of men. And the answer is not in the thoughts of men. It's in the thought of precept. So that's the reason right there we were doing a painting to a statement Mr. Teals made in the WCC saying about the understanding of this Bible. The reason you not going to never understand this Bible. The only way you're going to understand this Bible, according to what we just read, it is a commandment. To do what? What is a commandment to do? Commandment and precept. Read that verse again. Just read it exactly the way you see it. Just read it. The way you see it, read it. Now watch what it says in 2 Ezra 16:76.
2 Ezra 16:76. And the guide of them who kept my commandment and precept, says Yahweh, let not your sins weigh you down, and let not your sins lift up themselves.
Right. You got to. Now, that is a commandment to keep the precepts. Now, let's go see what a commandment is. Now, we're going to see what a command. Now, commandment is keep the precepts. Now, Mother E, we're going to take a look at what is a commandment. Now, we found out a commandment is to keep the precepts. Let's see what is a commandment. Now we're going to see what is a commandment. Let's see, can we find out what is a commandment? Let's go look at Isaiah 28, verse 10. Let's see what a commandment sounds like. 28, verse 10 of Isaiah.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here it goes, and there it goes.
He says, precept must be upon precept. Line upon line, got to go here a little bit and there a little bit. Let's go to Isaiah 29, verse 9, 10. Let's go to Isaiah 29, verse 9 and 10 there, Mother E. Isaiah 29, verse 9 and 10.
Book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9, say yourself and wonder. Cry you out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Verse 10, for the Yahweh has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes to seer, and you, your ruler, the seer has he covered.
In this case, he'll cover them 17 nations and they preachers and they teachers. He ain't covered his seers, because the seers got the one open your eyes on this message. So he said now, he said, all your rulers, your overseers, your pastors, your shepherds, he have closed your eyes because you do not precept your Bible. We listen to you. You never precept your Bible. And the strongest drug that it is in man's kind is Christianity. That is the strongest wicked drug it is, because Christianity will never have you to precept your Bible. Because if you precept your Bible, you will get the answer to that Christianity don't have no place in your vocabulary or in the Bible, period. That's if you precept your Bible. That's the most strongest drug it is, Christianity, from Satan the devil. And he passed it on to Pope Nicholas V. He passed it on to Alfonso. And at this same point, those of other nations have moved into other people's land and up on a curse, and we're going to fall right in the line of it too by following what they got on the table. Remember, Christianity, the one gave you that something Yahweh said, we're going to read in a minute. But let's show you a little bit more. Let's show you another command. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 27. Let's see what is a command. We go on Leviticus chapter 7, verse 27.
Leviticus chapter 7, verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
Whatsoever person it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that person shall be cut off from his people.
He said, any soul that eat blood. So if you eat blood, and you know how you eat blood? When you go to these restaurants and you order your meal, you know they have not seasoned that meat, and you order it well done. But that blood and not a lot of that stuff we tell you, stay away from to get your body together, that chicken and that beef, stay away from to get up on your feet. You know, sometimes you go out and get you some chicken from the restaurants and it's not totally done, but you still work with it. So you see, now we're going to precept that to the 17th chapter, verse 12. Now, who is he telling this to? See, here's the point, see, right here. You got to understand, when Yahweh is talking, who is he telling don't eat no manner of blood? Now, we're going to find out who he's talking to. by going to 17 verse 12. Let's see what we're talking to Leviticus 17 verse 12, telling them, who is the them? We're going to read it now, 17 verse 12. Mother, E, what does it say?
Leviticus chapter 17 verse 12. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood.
Yeah. So who is Yahweh telling Moses to tell, don't eat no blood, otherwise you don't eat meat that got blood in it? So who is this message going to, Mother E? Is it going to all the nations of the world? Who is he telling this to?
The children of Israel and the strangers that dwell among them.
Excellent. So the children of Israel will take the lead on this understanding. He takes the lead. Let's go to Deuteronomy 12:16. Let's go to Deuteronomy 12:16. So, understand something. Children of Israel have a role to take the lead on what this man is saying. So, him to intervene. Deuteronomy 16, and Moses D of Israel, have me second Ezra, chapter 9, verse 29 through 32, and 36 and 37. Moses D of Israel, second Ezra, chapter 9, 29 through 32, and 36, 37, waiting on me. What is it saying in Deuteronomy 12:16 now, Mother E?
Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 16. Only you shall not eat the blood. You shall pour it upon the ground, on the earth, as water.
Now, who is he telling that to, Mother E? So that was your opportunity to shine for this national audience. Who is he telling that to?
Okay.
Go back to Leviticus 12, means 17, 12. So when we got down to Deuteronomy 12, 16, that's when you folks been shining in grand style by reading. Come back and read again, Leviticus 12, I mean 17, 12. Read that again, 17, 12.
And then Deuteronomy 17:12.
Make it Leviticus 17:12. Make it Leviticus 17:12. Let's get back on the table. Then we coming back to Deuteronomy, and I want to see you go knock it out the park. 17:12, Leviticus.
Okay. Leviticus 17. Let's get to Leviticus. Leviticus.
Mm-hmm. First. 17:12.
Leviticus chapter 17, verse 12. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood.
Right, so he's telling the children of Israel, and don't let them strangers that hanging around you, but don't let them be the cook for you, and they don't do the right thing. That's all he's saying. He said, all them strangers of other nations hanging around, following up on y'all, make sure they don't put no bloody meat nowhere near you. That's what he's saying. You teach them, they don't teach you. Now come on back to Deuteronomy 12:16 and knock it out the park.
Only you, Israel, Deuteronomy 12:16. Only you, Israel, shall not eat the blood. You, Israel, shall pour it upon the earth as water.
Yeah. So there is a there. So when they say it ain't in there, you remember one thing. When you study your precepts with those that's within, you're rehearsing that 17:12. Because when you put it in 12:16, You got to make sure you can get to Leviticus 17:12. If you read verse 7:27, make sure you can get to 17:12. So as long as you get to 17:12, when they say ain't no children of Israel, now he's talking about everybody, each and every. No, he ain't talking about each and every nothing. He's talking the children of Israel, people of the book. Great mystery. All right, Mother D up Israel. 2 Ezra chapter 9, 29 to 32 and 36 and 37. Let's see what this working with. Come on.
2 Ezra chapter 9, verses 29 to 32 and 36, verse 29. Mm-hmm. O Yahweh, thou that showest yourself unto us, thou was shown unto our father in the wilderness in a place where no man trotted, in a barren place when thou came out of Egypt, saluted from Israel. Verse 30. And thou spakest, saying, hear me, O Israel, and make my words, thou seed of Israel. Okay. 31. For behold, I showed my Torah instruction in you, and it shall bring fruit in you, and you shall be honored in it forever. 32. But our father, which received the Torah instruction, kept it not, and observed not your ordinance, and through the fruit of your Torah instruction did not perish, neither could it, for it was thine. 36. For we that have received Torah instruction perish by sin, and our minds also which receive it. 37. Notwithstanding, the Torah instruction perish not, but remaineth in his force.
So the Torah instruction it still remain in full force. But what he said again in verse 29? Or what he said in 9:29 again?
2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 49. O Yahweh, thou that showest yourself unto us, thou which showest unto our father in the wilderness in a place where no man trotted, in a barren place when they came out of Mizraim, the land of Egypt.
Oh, so he showed our fathers in the wilderness, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
But let me show you now when the counterbalancer come in. Now he showed our fathers in the wilderness. Let's see, can we find out something along the way of find out something. He said he showed our fathers in the wilderness. Torah instructions and all that. How do you say? But now when we go to Acts chapter 7, 2 and 23, can you help me out? What it says in Acts chapter 7, verse 22 and 23?
Acts chapter 7, verses 22 and 23.
Yeah, what it say?
Acts chapter 7, verses 22 to 23. Verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptian, Ham, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Verse 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into him I mean, it came into his mind to visit his brethren, the children of Israel.
Good. Now, his brothers are children of Israel. So it came to his mind that visit his brothers, children of Israel. And where was his brothers at? And what was that in Deuteronomy 1:1? What was that, Mother D.F. Israel? Where was his brothers at in Deuteronomy 1:1? What was his brothers at? So he went to visit his brothers in the wilderness, find where his brother was at in the wilderness in Deuteronomy 1:1. What was his brother at there, Mother?
Deuteronomy chapter one, verse one. Hold on, Mother D. Israel.
Now, I want you to be looking real carefully at something. All I need out of Deuteronomy chapter one is two lines. I want you to look down from there, and tell me where all Israel is at. I want you to look down and pull out me one word after you read two lines. After you read the two lines, then look down and the next line, give me one word. And you tell me, and I won't know what one word you're going to give me. After you read Deuteronomy 1:1. One, two lines.
Okay.
What it said, Deuteronomy 1:2 lines. And the third line, just give me what you want me us to have in the third line.
Okay. Deuteronomy 1:1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness.
I need all that. All I need was one thing. He spoke to all Israel in the wilderness. So he spoke to all Israel in the wilderness. Now, we bring Satan in now. Let's see if we bring Satan in, and let's see what you're knocking out the park by just reading it, but put the eye of suspect on what we're talking about. Let's see. Now, we're going to bring Satan in. Now, we're going to show you the hands of Satan. Here go the hands of Satan. Now, we are raised, the children of Israel was in the wilderness. Now, we watch the hand of Satan show his hand ready in Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Let's see Satan show his hand right on the right side of the book. Come on, that Mother D up, Israel. Let's see Satan show his hand in the 7th chapter of Acts, verse 38.
Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Verse 38. This is he that was in the congregation in the wilderness with the ministering spirit, which spake to him in Mount Sinai. And with our Father to receive the lively oracles to give unto us, Israel.
Well, evidently, a word that didn't ever come out. You don't ignore no word. You got to do it smooth to understand what word was put in faith that was in the wilderness with our fathers. And we got to soundly attack the word soundly but smoothly understand. We don't even know anything. So we just found out in verse 38 that Satan jumped into the writers of the 17 nations and just pulled out the fathers of the children of Israel and put the word called the church in there. When we see the word church, we don't ignore the word church. We just pronounce polluted, corrupt word for the children of Israel, the church. And that's how you soundly take care of business. Not that we don't see it, we do see it. and we see where you're coming from, because as long as you remove these people from their knowledge, Satan the devil, we will never find our way, and Yahweh going to watch us because he going to tell us plainly what he's going to do. Let's see what plainly he say he's going to do. Let's see what he say he's going to do in Hosea 5:15. Mosiah Israel. Let's see what he say he's going to do. In the book of Hosea 5:15, can he help us out and tell us, this national audience, what he say he was going to do? In Hosea 5:15.
Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early.
Mm-hmm. So that's what he's saying he's going to do. I'm just going to go and watch and see what you take care of this business the way I tell you to do it. Mother Eve, in Isaiah 56:6-8, let's see what he says. He says, I'm just going to go to my place. I'm just going to watch you. Isaiah 56:6-8 says what?
Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6 through 8. Okay. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 6. Also the son of the stranger that sojourneth himself to the Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh to be his servant. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. Verse 7, even them will I bring to my righteous mountain, that I said temple, and make them joyful in my temple of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for my temple shall be called the temple of prayer for all people. Verse 8, the Yahweh which gathers the outcast of Israel said, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said, don't let the stranger tell you that that you don't have to keep the Sabbath day. And that was the stranger done told you. He said, don't let the stranger tell you what the stranger done told you. You got to keep the Sabbath day. You keep Sunday. He tell you right there, don't let the stranger tell you don't keep the Sabbath day now. So he got it written in your book, tell you, now who gave you the first day of the week? The stranger gave you that. Huh? Now, and strangers, everybody like you, you got to keep the Sabbath day. You got to keep the key Sunday. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
There's right there. Don't let the stranger tell you that. And look what you're dead. The strangers tell us that we ain't got to keep the Sabbath day. He tell you up front, don't let them tell you that. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to let them tell us that. So he tell you, don't. So, look what he says in Ezekiel 46, verse 1. Now here he comes, telling Ezekiel, Ezekiel, tell them about my coming. And let's see what he says to Ezekiel in 46, verse 1. We'll read a little bit until we get the point. Let's look at Ezekiel 46. Now, Ezekiel writing about the return of Yahweh the Son. Look what is written. And he told you, don't let nobody take away your Sabbath day from you. Ezekiel 46, pick up verse 1. We'll read a little bit to that point. Come on.
Okay, Ezekiel 46. Verse 1, thus said the Yahweh, the gate of the inner court that looketh towards the east shall be shut the six working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open. And in the day of the new month, it shall be open. Verse 2.
Yeah,
and
right.
The prince.
So, yeah. Well, hold on. That's good. That's good. So he said, you got 6 working days.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but on the Sabbath day. Now, here he is coming back, letting you know the same 6 working days you have. But on the mm-hmm. Sabbath day, he's temple site will be open. So now, how is the Sabbath day done away when he told his people to tell him, you got 6 working days. Mm-hmm. Now, where did he pull that from? Let's go to Leviticus 23:1, 2, and 3. Now, he pulled that verse from Leviticus 23, letting you know one thing. You got 6 working days. When the turn of Yahuwah the Son, he's coming back to institute worldwide the Sabbath day. And that verse come out of Leviticus 23:1, 2, and 3. What does it say, Mother E?
Leviticus chapter 23:1, 2, and 3. Verse 1. And the Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahuwah, which ye shall proclaim to be righteous assembly, even these are my feasts. Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of rest and righteous assembly. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahuwah in all your dwellings.
Mm-hmm. And what else that 7 day is in Genesis 2, verse 3, when no man was around? What else that is? And Moses of Israel had me in 31st chapter, verse 1, 12 through 18 of Exodus. What else that is that, Mother E? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. What else?
Book of Genesis. And Yahuwah blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because that in it he has rested from all his work, which Yahuwah created and made.
So, Mother E, what is the blessed day? All the days is blessed? Now, no man is around. So, what is the blessed day according to the Bible?
The 7th day. And Yahuwah blessed the 7th day.
Uh-huh. So, what is the blessed day according to the Bible? What day is that, Mother E?
The 7th day.
What number? Okay.
The name of
7.
How do you know? Yes, because you can read the blessed day is the 7th day. That's mm-hmm. the only day he told you is you do your work. The only mm-hmm. blessed day is 7th day. When the sun go down on mm-hmm. Friday to the sun go down on Friday. That is the only mm-hmm. blessed day. He tell you in the book of Eva, blue title called you, Mother E. What did he tell you in 7 verse 7? Yeah, Paul was invited to that very big temple of Southern Kingdom. And he dropped a profound statement. And what did he say? What did he say in 7 verse 7?
The book of Eva, blue to Hebrew, chapter 7, verse 7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the best, of the better.
Oh. So the less is blessed then the better. So all the ones that want to do the better, they want to see people's thousand people's every direction, you're not up on the blessing. The less is got the bless. Less is got the blessed then the better. Come on, that little D up, Israel. we'll be working with in Ezekiel, in Exodus 31, verse 1, 12 through 18, we'll be working with.
Exodus chapter 31, 1 through, 1 through what?
Yes, verse 1. Verse 1.
1.
And skip down to 12, down to verse 18, in a closing statement.
Okay.
Let's see what it says in Exodus chapter 31, 1, 12 through 18, in a closing statement.
Exodus chapter 31, verse 1, 12 to 18. In a closing statement. Verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 12. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, verse 13. Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, truly my Sabbath you shall keep it, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I am Yahweh that do sanctify you. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is righteous unto you. Everyone that defile it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, righteous to Yahweh. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he or she shall surely be put to death. Verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of testimony, a tablet of stone written with the finger of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Well, WCCC just got rid of all across the network. See, whosoever means any and all. But we might as well just clean up that, the definition according to the Bible or the whosoever that we can read. We might as well precept that, Mother D up Israel. So the WCC says, look at that. See that? Whosoever, that means any and all. That means everybody. Seer, we got you now. You got me now.
Okay.
It's back chapter 2. Let's see, you got me now on the whosoever. You go to Acts chapter 2. Say they got me now, Mother D up Israel, on the whosoever. Let's see if they got me now. When we precept the whosoever in the second chapter of the book of Exodus, of Acts, we go on and find out, and they say they got me now. Let's see if they got me now. Read 21 and one line of 22. We go on and get the whosoever in Acts chapter 2, pick up at verse number 21 and one line of 22. Let's find out who the whosoever is.
Acts chapter 2, verse 21 and 22, one line. 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Verse 21, you men of Israel, hear these words.
You men. It is word. So the whosoever is who, according to verse 2?
Men and women of Israel.
That's right. So that goes to whosoever. Now let me pull a rabbit out of there real quick there, Mother E. Mother D up Israel. Let's go to 13 chapter. And we'll look at it one more time. 13, verse 26 in the closing statement. 13:26 of Acts.
Of Acts? Right.
Whosoever. Yeah,
okay.
Acts 13, we're going to get the whosoever one more time.
13:26.
Yes, ma'am. Acts 13:26 in closing statement.
Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears Yahweh, to you is the word of this salvation sent.
So you, so whosoever it is to stock the family line of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Close the statement out, Mother E. Mother D of Israel, we catch the eyeball to eyeball. 1 o'clock, come on.
I want to read Proverbs 14:12, verse 12 and verse 27. Verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man and woman, but the end thereof are the ways of death. 27, the fear of Yahweh is a fountain of life, to depart from the snare of death. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Excellent. Mother D of Israel, excellent. Mother E, what it saying is the 20, 2 down to verse 5, 10 through 12, and 19 and 20 in the closing statement. What it says in Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 2 down to verse 5, 10 through 12, and 19 and 20 in the closing statement. What did it say there, Mother E?
Okay. Ezekiel, chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 2 to 5, 10 to 12, 19 to 20. Then came the word of Yahweh unto me, saying, verse 3, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, thus said the Yahweh, are you come to inquire of me as I live, said Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. Verse 4. Will thou judge them, son of man? Will thou judge them, cause them to know the abomination of their fathers? Verse 5. And say unto them, thus said the Yahweh, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up my hand upon the seed of the family of Israel and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, Mizraim, the house of bondage, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, man of Shem. Verses 10 to 12. Verse 10. Wherefore I caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, and brought them unto the wilderness. Verse 11. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctified them. Verse 19. I am the Yahweh, your Yahweh, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Verse 20. and hollow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh, your Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So what is the sign that he gave the children of Israel for him to know you and you to know him, Mother E?
He gave them his Sabbath. That's the sign.
Exactly right. So the Sabbath day is a sign for Yahweh to know you and he and you know him by keeping the Sabbath day. Who's telling that, Mother? Mother Z, closing statement, Mother E. Catch your eyeball, the eyeball, the top part of the seven. Come on.
Thank and praise Yahweh for another class. Thank and praise Yahweh for the seal. Thank and praise Yahweh for each and every one that's in the class. Thank and praise Yahweh just to be in the class. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So see, Yahweh got a sign. He got a sign, he got a protocol, but he always left room for Satan. Satan is to get the ones that want to be disobedient and come up another way, according to St. John 10:1. The Sabbath is a sign. Six anointed camps, all the gates open up, and listen, see, Ray, the Sabbath is the sign. Satan's sign tell you, no, you ain't got to keep the Sabbath day. You ain't got to keep no feast days. You ain't got to wear no fringes. You ain't got to, you can wear pants and you do all that. That is the mark of Satan the devil. His ass, Pope Nicholas V gave Alfonso, King Alfonso, all the land of Ham. That was not for heels to give, but he gave it anyway. So anybody that went in anybody else's land, understand one thing. According to Yahweh, you're upon a curse. You're upon a curse, and you will be judged by getting in another man's land and taking over their land and not visiting their land and leaving. So now we read all that, say right here. So remember, Yahweh got rules and regulations. He got rules and regulations on his fringes. He tell you in the 15th chapter, verse 37-38, put on fringes.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, the fringes in him to know who you are through the fringes. So listen, see right here. He got it written. Our job is to tell you what the man is saying. It's up to you. Remember, still speak from the mouth of Yahweh word to you. Put them fringes on. Knock them gates down on them Sabbath day. Get in where you fit in there. Big ear, little mouth. Have them fringes on. And Yahweh will take it from there. That's a sign he's looking for. Sabbath is a sign. You got it? Good. We'll catch you all at 7:15 tomorrow for the top part of the Sabbath day. Yahweh be with you all. Shalom.
Open your eyes.